Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So today we keep the feast of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the four Sundays that the prayer book sets aside for the celebration of baptism, the others being Easter, Pentecost, and All Saints. And this morning it will be our privilege to make four new Christians. So along the lines of a good old-fashioned teaching sermon, I want to say a brief word about baptism, and an even briefer word about baptism's relationship to the sacrament of confirmation. Now, as you know, there are other Christian traditions which do things rather differently than do we. Some only baptize adults and refuse to baptize babies and children. Some make a distinction between baptism with water and baptism with the Holy Spirit. And well, still others like Quakers and Salvation Army don't practice baptism at all. Now, it's not my intent to explain why they've got it wrong. That would need a whole series of sermons in itself. But rather, to explain what it is we do here, and what has been done and is being done by the majority of Christians throughout the ages. Now, suffice it to say that those who do not baptize children believe that baptism is primarily something that we do to God, or more correctly, something that I do to God, because in those traditions, salvation is primarily individualistic. I am saved, and then I join the club of the saved called church. And in this way of thinking, baptism is my way of showing God that I want to be his follower. There's nothing supernatural about the event, no bestowal of grace, no rebirth from the font. It's akin to publicly reciting a pledge of allegiance to God. Now, in our Anglican tradition, as well as in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches, and thereby in the vast majority of the world's Christians, we are saved precisely by being put into the church, which is the ark of salvation. Salvation apart from the church is impossible. And therefore, baptism is a sacrament, that is, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We believe that the sacrament of baptism turns people, by the grace of God, into something they could not be otherwise. That is, a child of God, a member of Christ, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Baptism is something that God does to us. Now, baptism is something which is therefore extremely important. And that is why we always begin the rite of baptism at the door of the church. This is for two reasons. In the first instance, we're saying to the parents and the godparents, hold on a moment. Are you sure that you want to go ahead with this? It's a rather serious step to take. And on the other hand, we are at the door of the church to welcome them and assure them that should they decide to take the step, you and I, the priests and the people of St. James, will give them every possible help to keep the promises they will be making on behalf of the child. So in other words, baptism is like every other sacrament, a public and a corporate action. It is done publicly with the congregation witnessing the baptism, themselves affirming their beliefs, and this is done in the body of the church with the priest acting as the church's representative. And as the baptism progresses, it becomes even more clear that it is a corporate affair. To begin with, parents and godparents and candidates, they stand at the door, they ask for admittance, as it were. And only when they've declared their good faith in what they are asking for can the process of giving it to them proceed. And we turn and we face the font, and those all-important questions about faith and repentance are put not just to the parents of the child, not just to the godparents, but to the congregation as a whole. And then when the baptism is complete, the child is received by applause by the whole congregation. And this child born of the womb of the church called the font is become a member, that is a limb or a bodily organ of Christ. He or she has been made a new creation from the font. And at that moment, all the riches and responsibilities of the kingdom of heaven are available to them. They are inheritors with us of the kingdom of God and of his Christ. Now, so far so good. But there's one glaring drawback to all of this. What guarantee is there that the child, when he or she grows up, will fulfill the promises made on his or her behalf by parents and godparents? And the short answer is that there is and can be no guarantee at all. Now let's assume for a moment that the parents and godparents and the clergy and the congregation do their level best to train this child up in the way that he should go. It's a pretty big assumption, but let's make it. And despite all the best efforts of their parents, a tragic number of children abandon the practice of the faith, and those whose faith survives adolescence often become like chaff in the wind when they go off to college. So it's easy to see why some churches shy away from infant baptism. But by doing so, they're only trading one set of difficulties for another. From the very beginning, the church has baptized infants, as we read in the second lesson today. The jailer and his whole household were baptized by Peter, which would have included children and slaves. So those who fight shy of baptizing children on the grounds that nobody knows whether they remain faithful or not have to face the fact that it was never, even in the early church, seen as a barrier to baptizing children at all. The practice here and in the whole of the Anglican Communion is to use the sacrament of confirmation as an answer to this. Every adult who has been baptized as an infant is invited, after a course of instruction, publicly to profess their repentance, belief in, and commitment to Jesus Christ in the presence of a bishop who is the successor to the apostles. And the bishop, in his turn, lays hands with prayer on the head of each individual candidate, as setting the seal both on what they promised and on the continual duty of the local church to support them in this new life of faith. So the hymn in procession to the font is on page 2, 3 of the bulletin. Will you please stand and join in singing that hymn?